Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACRTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is February 6, 2016, Saturday evening, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. Welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And this evening, what we will do is have the guest of the show, who is Sri Kanafji, the 973rd Living Sroshya Master, also known as Mahaji, speak about the principles of ACRTA and also about why someone would want to get onto this path, what the benefits are of being on this spiritual teaching. Sri Kanafji, how are you this evening? Welcome to the show.
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you? And thank you for having me here.
Well, it is my pleasure, and I know a pleasure of the audience as well. And a lot of people probably wonder what ACRTA means. What is ACRTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji? So perhaps we could just start with a very basic aspect of it and talk about what the path is about, if you wouldn't mind beginning there.
Well, you know, usually I start with the short definition of ancient science of Sahaji, since that's so simple. And it's the teaching of the out-of-body experience that is the word Sahaji in Higher Sanskrit. And the reason why Higher Sanskrit is used is because that language has a higher vibration, being the origin of all languages. And therefore, we use that highest language. And that's why we use the one word Sahaji instead of out-of-body experience, soul or spirit travel. We don't use a phrase. We just use one word, and that's the practice of Sahaji that gains one the liberation in spirit on the path of ACRTA. That means that we teach the essence of soul, and once one learns that soul is not the mind or body, that's a third part and the higher part of the individual, and being that essence is extremely important, because once one learns how to hear the sound current, they may have heard it their entire life, and then once they hear these words of the Living Sroshya Master that explains that this essence as a sound current is a source of what they are, then what they can do is learn how to identify with it and then travel back to these higher planes that we'll talk about this evening. And that means there are four lower planes, and the higher planes that I alluded to are above those four planes that have the fifth plane. And beyond that, this plane on up to 6th, 7th, and 8th, etc., goes on ad infinitum. And the main ones that we talk about, and firstly and first and foremost, the most important one, after said, is the fifth region. That is the first plane of liberation. Once one gets to that fifth plane within oneself, then they are liberated from those four lower regions. And the lower regions are the planes of karma and reincarnation that people have been, in many, many lifetimes, have been entrapped, I'll say, in those lifetimes and haven't been able to break away from that lower cycle. So once they get to the path, the main reason for the path, in answer to your question, is to get freed up from those lower regions, and from the karma and reincarnation cycle. Once one steps onto the path of ACRTA, the karma that they have been creating ceases, and then starts to be resolved on the very first day. Instead of creating karma, they resolve karma, and now they lead what is known as a dharma life. And dharma means the karmaless life. Obviously, it would, if we call it the dharma life, it would not have karma involved with it. So it's very important to understand that the path is about dharma and leading a non-karma life. And how do we do that? Well, it's kind of like in science, they have what is known as invariance. Invariance is meaning that there's no exhaust from the action. And that's basically what karma is cause and effect, that when you create emotion or any sort of action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It's called the second law of thermodynamics in physics. And so when you do an action, there's a reaction. The way Dharma works is there's an action and there's a non-action. In other words, the action doesn't have a reaction. Now, that sounds real complex, but having said all that, once you step on the path, you're practicing Dharma. I mean, I can know all those things, whereas the Chila can learn about it. There are complex issues in the world, but the simplicity is that we can hear ourselves as a sound current. That's really easy. And once you step onto the path, by listening to the sound current, you can negotiate through the lower worlds, and I can help point the way if you have mishaps. We have an intro book that explains all these lower regions, and they by negotiating through them and knowing where they are, then what happens is that you know specifically where to go and be able to not be controlled by those lower incarnations, and you find the pathway, and act as a pathway, and you see the two words, the two of the four definitions, pathway, it's a path and a way, also a teaching and a science. So that science of the way, and there is specifically a path within one that you take as soul, and they travel to the lower regions, to the fifth region. It's not metaphorical. It's not meditation. We just sit and do nothing. We do an active contemplation where the movement of soul, because it's always in motion, is now not just spinning around the lower worlds, but it's moving onto the higher planes. See, that's probably an esoteric thing for this week. Soul is pretty much wasting its time, because people say, well, if we're eternal soul, what have we been doing in eternity? Most of the time, spinning around the lower worlds, wasting one's time, because the divine it, the soul, is trying to find its way off of the cycle. See, so it's a laborious, meliminous path of circling and cycling and keeping creating this constant karma. It goes on and on and on and on. And the reason is there's a Calrangian or the demon overlord that keeps people away from the liberation. It's his job to maintain a domain, and they keep us here. See? So that's that whole domain business is kept in a slavery of the lower worlds. And people know that there's an answer to it, and they try to seek to get off of it. And then the irony is they're perpetual soul that can walk away from it at any time. See, that's the irony, is that soul can walk away from its clay temple at any time inwardly, and it has always had that. It's like what's the character in Wizard of Oz, Dorothy? You know, she always had the way home, but she had to learn it herself, according to the teacher, the mentor, and the Wizard of Oz. So the silliness is that soul is eternal, and it could always have been liberated if it found me, the living source master, and said, hey, you know, you can get away from this. And then it's always had that answer. It's always known that. But again, we say we have all this wisdom and have all this information, but only 1 out of 100 can get it. There's an irony with that. And then people say, well, why can't everybody get it? Well, it wasn't set up that way. It wasn't set up for everyone to get it. It was set up. It's a secret. The only people that have the ears to hear and the eyes to see can get what we're talking about tonight. The rest of it, the people's attention level is so poorly scattered, they're not paying attention. The proof of it is I'll do seminars and with people and say, well, I'll try to point to a chair in the room, and I'll say, well, look at the chair. The back of the chair has three wooden slats in it, and then I'll start describing the chair, and I'll look to the audience, and no one's paying attention. You see what I mean? That just proves that people, their attention is scattered. So how do you focus the attention is only on the 1 in 100, the one that's really exhausted, wants, is feverishly seeking God, And that's what we give. We give the God realization experience. So maybe you take them to the first three goals. I danced around self-realization, said God realization. So maybe your time here can, go through the three goals, if you will. Go right ahead.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The first goal is self-realization. That's the first goal that we want to achieve. And self-realization happens when we finally reach the fifth plane, which is the entryway to the God worlds, to the higher planes, where everything is pure positive spirit. Below that, everything is positive and negative, but in the world of duality. But there is no duality in the higher planes. So with self-realization, we're really understanding who we are as soul. And with that, I like to talk about this part because it's very important, and it's the way that someone can tell if they're really self-realized, is because they gain such a confidence about everything. They don't have any doubts or questioning anymore. They really know who they are and get a sense of what their connection is with the universe and on the spiritual path. So that is when you're ensconced in the higher planes, you've reached self-realization. Now, beyond that, the next goal that one wants to look to achieve is when one steps and onto the eighth plane, when they're initiated on the eighth plane, which is the plane of God realization. So here on the eighth plane, we're understanding at a much deeper level what our relationship is to God, and where we fit in the whole scheme of the universe. So that's a very important step, because we really get that understanding of God, or as Sri Katavji likes to say, the glimpse of the divine. And that's what happens if we truly get that glimpse of the divine when we're on the eighth plane. So we're heading closer to our final goal, which is spiritual mastery, and that's achieved on the 10th plane. And with spiritual mastery, at that point, we've achieved the final goal, but we're not finished unfolding, because unfolding is an ever-going process. It's an infinite process. There's always another step to take. There's always another realization to gain. So we're never bored. We're never standing still. It's always exciting, because the inner planes are the most exciting place to be, especially if you're in the higher planes. So with spiritual mastery, we are really learning what our job is going to be in the universe. We can take a position in the universe, whether it's on the inner or the outer. We can be of great assistance in the running of the universe, and either bringing more members onto the path or just enlightening those people that are interested in learning something more about it. But there's many, many other aspects to it, which we gain when we do reach spiritual mastery. Did you want to add anything to that, Sri Katavji?
No, that's fine. I was just wondering that later you can take us through a huge chant, which would be nice. I think that to answer the initial question, what's the purpose and why we have the path of Akata, is for the ready souls that are seeking the Godhead. I mean, that's really why the teaching becomes public. Because often it's not public, and then it's only the living spiritual master that holds the rod of power of consciousness. Because in order to have consciousness, we have the sight and sound, basically. We really only have two senses that are important. The rest of it, in sentience, you have eight other senses, but they teach only five, but the most important is sight and hearing. And even in the lower worlds, the sight that we have is looking at the physical plane and the physical sight. So when we're talking about sahaji and the practice of akata, we're talking about a daily contemplation of 30 minutes as a standard practice. It's not a mandatory practice, but it's highly recommended, since we're in an iron age presently and going farther into it. We're about 5,000 years into a 478,000-year cycle. What, did you want to say something?
No.
I thought it must have been. All right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're on the very beginnings of, well, not necessarily the beginning of the Kali Yuga, but as opposed to the full length of the time. But at the same time, we're going farther into it, and therefore the contemplation is recommended because it's easy to be fooled, I'll say, by the Kalmaranjan, and there's so many distractions. And a daily 30-minute contemplation allows one to keep a powerful focus. It gives one the proper energy to get through 24 hours in the day with a high vibration to ward off any sort of negativity. Or as Leslie likes to say, the huge chant will ward off any negativity, and it does. So it's the golden key of the universe. It's a very powerful mantra. It's a part of the sound current, and therefore, when someone doesn't have their own personal mantra initiation, which we give on the path to Akita, then the HU can be used as a universal mantra to put a focus on the sound current. And that's the idea of having mantras, is to maintain an attention level wherever you are, where in terms of focus, the idea of consciousness, the idea of awareness, and all these things have to do with an attention level. So the mantra helps the attention level, and one always is enhancing the attention level throughout their sojourn in the universe. And that means that if the attention level is scattered, if one doesn't know their soul, the essence within one, then they have to relearn that factor of what the sound current is, because one has forgotten over many, many lifetimes. And therefore, there's a great suffering that goes on, because it's like dancing around the center but not ever getting to the center. It's like when I read my teacher's book years ago, and I felt this centering. I felt I got to the center because his vibrations quickened my vibrations, and I got to the center. And that was so important, because I hadn't had that feeling in this lifetime. You see, because it is really a feeling. So if people can feel an upliftment or a vibration when we speak this evening, and you can feel the energy of the entity, that's the Svarosha. That's the centering of one's being within the individuality we're talking about as soul. It's very powerful, and people must understand that we can do it as an individual, a ready soul, and then we yearn for other people to get this answer too, but they're just not going to. We can present things all day long to a blue in the face, and they may get it in that moment in time. As soon as they walk away, their engrams or their karma is so significant in their life, it's going to pull away their attention level. You see, so it's not a matter of not presenting it, and it's not a matter of sorting out when and when. It just happens when you're a vehicle for spirit. Sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. It's not necessary to go in and collar everybody off the street or have Akita mouth, as we call it. That's not necessary. I rarely talk about it in the marketplace with people once in a while, but very rarely. I just don't go out there and push things. It's unnecessary. That's why we give presentations and we have introductory talks around the country, around the world, and it's very important to do that. At the same time, it's not necessarily a push. It's not a witnessing program or anything like that, not at all, because it isn't for everybody. So, let's see, what's our time like? Let me see here.
Well, we've got about 11 minutes left.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so why don't you take us to the huge chant then?
Sure. So the huge chant is short version of the 30-minute contemplation that we need to do on a daily basis. And the importance of the contemplation is that we're really centering ourselves by tuning in with the spirit, which is seen as light and heard as sound. So it's very important that we do this. And the reason we do it for 30 minutes a day is because that actually spans a 24-hour period. So it gives us that protection and balance for 24 hours. So that's why it's highly recommended that we do this on a daily basis. And it's a good idea to do it around the same time every day if you can do that. And so the huge chant is sort of a very short version, just to experience what it's like to chant a hue. And I'm sorry, excuse me for a minute. There's some kind of a technical issue.
I think so. Am I on?
Okay, I apologize, everyone. There was sort of a technical issue there, and anyway, I resolved it. So I apologize for the very long lapse of silence. But anyway, okay. So the Hugh Chant, a very brief version, and it's also something that we do in the beginning of our classes and our satsangs because it raises the vibrations. And the word that we use for it, Hugh, is one that is also means God, and therefore it has a very high vibration to it, and it's very powerful. It will completely obliterate any kind of negativity that's happening at the moment, whether that's on the inner experiential level or whether it's on the outer. So when we're doing contemplation at home, we begin doing the Hugh, or if we have our own spiritual mantra, we can do that as well. We're sitting quietly in a comfortable position with our feet flat on the floor or in tailor fashion, whatever is more comfortable, and use earplugs if we really can't get all the sound omitted from our environment. You certainly feel free to use the earplugs to make it quieter. And anyway, what we're going to do here is when we're doing a 30-minute contemplation, you can chant for a few moments or you can chant longer, and then you're quiet and you might have different experiences, such as a very vivid out-of-body experience, or to hear the sound current, which can be heard as a high-pitched electrical sound, but you can also hear it in different variations depending on what plane you're traveling, such as the single note of a flute on the fifth plane. You can hear violins. There are many different sounds that the sound current can be heard as. But a high-pitched electrical sound is a very common one for people to hear, and it's good to tune into that because that's your sound current you're tuning into. And so I'm going to begin a short Hugh chant. So we're seated comfortably with our eyes closed. Our attention is either on the third eye, that point right above the bridge of the nose between the eyebrows, also called the tizratil, or it's on the crown chakra, which is the highest chakra. So let us begin. You can follow along if you like. Baraka Bashat, which means may the blessings be. And as I said, we really want to do the contemplation exercise for 30 minutes a day. And there's no mandate, as Srikata she's often said, but it is highly recommended because that does facilitate your spiritual unfoldment, gives you more protection, more balance, and it's a wonderful ecstatic feeling to be tuning into spirit. So with that, Sri Kadavji, I might turn this back over to you. We've got about 6 minutes left. If there's any points you'd like to add on.
Well, thank you for taking us to the Hugh Chant. It's very important to have that experience of the feeling of Sarosha and that peace and contentment in the Sarosha, because it's very difficult not to do a Hugh Chant and feel the upliftment of that particular mantra, which comes off the 12th plane power of the Akshara. That's why sometimes Hugh is another name for God. We often call it really another name for spirit. So it really means when we say the human, we're talking about spirit man in reality. And that's where the Hugh, you want to hide something, you put it in plain sight, and you can see it in the word human. The first syllable, word H-U, which is the universal mantra hidden in that word. So that's pretty interesting to have it hidden. like that, and people don't even understand what the word human means. And now they do. If they listen to this tape, they'll find that it means spirit. So human means spirit man. And it's very important to comprehend that and to learn about the hue, to practice it as much as one can during their daily lives, to focus on to the sound current within them that we call the Srosha, S-R-A-O-S-H-A. And you'll find that we have that particular logo, which is the Srosha symbol, the S-R-A-O-S-H-A. If you see the logo, you can see it on our website. That particular logo is on the keystone of all the temples of golden wisdom on the inner, and it's a cast in stone above the doors, and you can see that huge symbol that we use as a logo for Akita, the Srosha symbol, because that's what those temples are for, to display the Akita logo as the Srosha. And it's a stylized S-R-A-O-S-H-A. If you look very closely at the symbol, you can see that. And that's kind of an idea to look very closely, because it's also the highest mandala. If anybody understands what mandalas are in the East, they're for contemplation, they use it for meditation. Meditation is really just a bad definition of contemplation, like a derivative definition for contemplation. And it has also derivative meanings to it as well. And so we recommend the contemplation, which is the highest form of that particular introspective practice. It's an introspective practice, and the highest form, even the Buddha and all those statues they make in Sri Lanka and carve all those statues, they have a sleeping Buddha. He's in contemplation, either laying on his side or sitting up in lotus or tailor fashion. He's in a state of contemplation, not meditation. See, because, like I said, meditation is a misinterpretation of contemplation. That's very important. It's very important to understand that. That's why we teach that in Akita, that contemplation is the highest form of that particular practice. It's the highest form of the daily 30-minute practice that is necessary for gaining liberation in spirit to the higher planes. So I burn up some more time there? How much more time do we have?
Well, we've got a couple of minutes left. I did want to say that, you know, if you've been listening for a while and you're, well, two things. One, perhaps you haven't been listening for a while. Perhaps this is your first time hearing the show and you're interested in getting more information, to please go to our website, which is akita.com, and you can get more information. Srikadavchi mentioned earlier, we have an introductory book that you can download. This is at no charge. There are audios that you can listen to of Srikadavchi. So there's a lot of information there. There are also some other books as well. And there is no charge for anything. Even membership on the path is free. So if you have been listening for a while and you're interested, please go to the website. You can download an application to apply for membership if you'd like. So I just wanted to mention that, because we do not charge anything. Don't want that to be an obstacle for anyone who's interested sincerely in gaining more spiritual unfoldment and achieving those goals of self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. So with that, I'd like to say we've got about a minute left, and I want to thank everyone for being with us tonight. We hope to hope that you'll return for next week. You can also listen to the archives in between that time. And Srikadavchi, I want to thank you especially for everything that you've said this evening and your presence here, and like to give you an opportunity to end the show, if you would.
As the master raises his right hand with palm facing outward and states, "I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bashad."